In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner. Emily Ash Lamb has today off, which is pretty exciting. She's thrilled. I think she has a birthday around this time, so she's going to go out partying today, which is great with me. We have a special guest co-host today, and that is Ryan Wren from the Sonoma Meat Company. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
Well, we've seen your face for about 10 plus years, I think. 11 years, 2014, was it?
That's correct.
When you founded the Sonoma Meat Company. And we've had you on, I think, almost every year by phone. Occasionally you come in to chat with some special events. But today I thought, since we have a guest who has written a book called On Meat, I figured, well, it'd be really interesting to have a professional's point of view who works with meat day in and day out, not only knowing the artistry of butchery, but also you teach classes on meat cookery too. You've had restaurant experience, have you not?
I have a little bit of restaurant experience.
Right, but you're very modest also. So this is a wonderful butcher shop, and I'll tell you, I pay full retail. I buy my jerky because my son, who lives in Chicago and has access to some pretty great jerky, he said, "No, continue to send me that." He said, "I haven't found a jerky quite as good as this." And he's a jerky aficionado. When he was in college and law school, he and his roommate supplemented their income by actually making jerky in their dorm room.
Very good.
Pretty
very
cool,
good.
Huh?
I'm about it. Go for it. That's a great way to make it.
So not only, of course, jerky and bacon and sausage and beef, pork, lamb, goat. Is there any call for rabbit? I know you.
Yeah, we have rabbit, whole rabbit.
John Ash was a big advocate, as you know, saying, come on, people, get over it. It's the leanest, most delicious protein. He was a big advocate.
Yes.
Plus, of course, of chicken. And then the interesting thing you do, of course, besides the smoking and curing and all that, but you do a custom cutting and wrapping service, which is unique.
Yes, we do. We do USDA processing for ranchers and farmers and allowing them to get their product to market and support the local economy.
And hunters, too, right?
That's true. We do butcher any kind of wild game that people desire to bring in, and we'll fabricate it into whatever desired cuts they like.
So do people need to call you in advance for that? Let's say they've been out hunting on Sunday and they've got some things they want processed.
They can bring it in. That's not a problem. We like to know when you're coming, just, you know, for logistics only. You know, if we got, you know, four trucks backed up delivering carcasses and you bring your deer at the same time, you might have to wait a little bit. That's the only reason we ask people to call in. And then also, if you call in advance, we can sort of get you thinking about all the process and all the different options that you can have.
So. That's quite true. The retail shop is where?
Yeah. Where? The retail is at 35 Sebastopol Avenue on the corner of Chestnut and Sebastopol Ave.
Okay. So you can get there. You get off at Dutton and go around and then head east down Sebastopol Avenue.
That is correct.
Or you can go downtown, down 3rd Street, and swing around that way. A couple ways to find it.
Absolutely.
And you're almost right across from the Mexican bakery.
Yeah, Tia Maria Bakery. It's a great spot.
It's a happening little corner.
It is. I love it.
So besides the retail and all the fabricating, I would guess a lot of the kids that show their farm animals, like the FFA and the 4-H Club, do they bring in their animals to be processed?
So we process for all of the local FFA and 4-H livestock exhibits. this year we did a great thing where we were giving back to each 4-H group who sent their animal to us, which was kind of fun. Every animal got basically a check that we sent to that particular 4-H group. Yeah, it was great. So yeah, we do that. It's a great part, great way to reach out. We also process for the local food bank, for Redwood Empire Food Bank. So.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You're everywhere.
We do the best we can with what we got.
And you actually, I understand, are expanding.
Yeah, we're in the process of building another facility around the corner, on the corner of Sebastopol Avenue and, on the corner
Dutton?
Of Dutton and Highway 12.
Oh, yeah. Right at the exit there.
Right at the exit. We're literally the last place on the block there, and we're going to be putting in a facility that specializes in snack sticks, hot dogs, cooked sausage, and jerky, because those are some...
But that won't be a retail shop, though, will it?
No, we will continue our original retail. It has a kind of a soft spot in Janine and mine's heart for that area. And we will use that facility that we're expanding into to basically allow farmers and ranchers to further add value to their products in order to get them to market and bring more revenue to them so that we can continue to support them.
So is this going to be a new build, or is it taking over an existing
structure? No, it's a new build. It was the old Cattleman's Warehouse and corporate headquarters that we took over, and we're doing a full RTE processing facility, which is quite an undertaking.
So how far out are you before you break ground?
You know, God willing, the creek don't rise. We should be up and up and running close to spring of next year.
All right. That's really exciting.
Yeah, it's great. We're looking, talking to all our ranchers to see who wants to get involved.
Now, I'm trying to visualize where this is. It's a big empty kind of lot, isn't it?
It's the first place. So it's directly across from the gas station. Yeah,
yeah.
It's white. At nighttime, you can see it. Has lights all around it. We've recently painted. We put solar all over the roof. The idea is to have a more, climate forward kind of place that's going to support itself. We have solar. We're trying to have some good net zero goals to work towards.
All right. Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah,
we're going to be there for the groundbreaking. Okay?
Oh, please come by. We'll have, knowing us, we'll have a big party to celebrate its opening. You
know, well, you're open now, the retail shop.
Yes,
what, 10
please come
what?
Down.
What
it's 10 to 6.
10 to 6,
Monday.
35 Sebastopol Avenue. Mm-hmm. Want to give a shout out to our friends at Screamin' Mimi's Ice Cream. Now, if you went by on October 1st around 5, 6, 7 o'clock, they were closed. Oh, what's that about? Well, they were at the Sebastopol Chamber of Commerce for the Community Awards Ceremony, and Screamin' Mimi's was the first ever Hall of Fame Business Award. Pretty cool.
That is very
and
cool.
Marilyn, the owner, just texted me. Of course, I don't have my phone handy. But I can mention that next Saturday, the 18th, they are having an open house, which is pretty exciting, to celebrate their 30th anniversary. Isn't that cool?
Wow.
30 years. You ever eaten at Screamin' Mimi's?
Yeah, it's delicious.
So tell me what your favorite flavor is while I find Marilyn's text.
My favorite flavor?
Yeah, in ice cream.
Oh, no, don't put me on the spot like this.
Give me a couple.
I'm more of just the chocolate guy. I go straight for the chocolate.
Come on.
I know, it's boring, but, I feel like chocolate and... So I met a guy this past, I think it was 3 weeks ago. I was at a wedding, and the gentleman... was kind of sitting off to his side. I'm like, that guy looks like he's interesting. I'm going to go talk to him. I'm like, all right, who are you? I introduced myself. He introduced himself. And he said, I am a ice cream aficionado. I was like, what does that mean? He's like, wherever I go, I eat ice cream. I'm like, all right, well, what does that mean? How many ice cream places? He's like, I've probably been to about 1,000 ice cream shops. I was like, who are you? And how come I don't know you? Or where did you come from? And I was like, well, where's the best one? Screaming Mimi's. Was the second from the top choice, was his favorite.
Oh,
and this guy's
heavens.
Been all over the nation eating ice cream.
So Marilyn Olson writes, good morning, Steve. The 30th anniversary party of Screamin' Mimi's will be next Saturday, October 18th from noon till 5. We will have special treats that we will be giving away all day, everything from free ice cream novelties to bumper stickers and Screamin' Mimi's magnets. And it looks like the weather forecast is going to be really good next Saturday. And I just realized as I'm texting you that next year will be my 31st anniversary. I will have spent half my life at the ice cream store.
That's awesome. I can relate.
So Marilyn and your family, congratulations. We've been long, John Ash and I were longtime supporters going back to 94-95 when we first had Marilyn on the show. So put that on your calendar, folks. Sonoma Countyans partying for the 30th anniversary of Screamin' Mimi's next Saturday, noon to 5. And they're going to have these special little anniversary Sundays that they're going to be giving away to. And something called, I don't know what this is, try one of our ice cream pearls, P-E-A-R-L-S. Do you know what that is?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, I'm going to be there to find
it. Yeah,
okay, well, let's take a break, and we will meet an author that's written quite an astounding book called On Meat, by Jeremy Fox. Special guest host today is Ryan Wren from Sonoma Meat Company. And we're excited to talk with Chef Jeremy right after this message.
Agricultural community farmers markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week year-round.
Petaluma has two farmers markets, the East Side Market at Lucchese Park Tuesdays from 10 to 1:30 and Walnut Park Saturdays from 2 to 5 through November 22nd. chicken, eggs, lamb, and beef are available from local farmers and ranchers, including Betha Springs Ranch in Petaluma. Get Petaluma cheeses from Acadena Cheese. Baked goods from The Baker E, Redbird, Hillsburg Bagel, and Bedstone Bakery. Petaluma's own Strauss Family Creamery brings organic milk, yogurt, butter, and ice cream to the market most weeks. Grab veggies from Sonoma County's Ortiz Family Farm. Boost your health with fresh cold-pressed juices from Rooted Juice. Anna's Seafood sells fish straight from the docks. Grab restaurant-quality lunch or dinner from Tacos Don Pepe with vegan options and Belfair featuring their award-winning chicken sandwich. You'll also find fresh honey, local artisans and crafters with candles, jewelry, and so much more.
More info online at ilovefarmersmarkets.org.
Scott Silvera. When you need a new SUV or truck, think Silvera. Serving Sonoma County for 71 years. Do you like seeing the same faces in sales and service? Think Silvera. There's value in seeing the same faces when you purchase your vehicle or coming in for service. And who doesn't like looking at a great selection of vehicle trims and colors? With over 550 new GMCs, Chevys, and used vehicles in stock and in transit, Silvera has what you're looking for. And after the sale, think Silvera again. Known for going beyond expectations long after the sale, with courtesy vehicles, shuttles to downtown Healdsburg, and more.
And do you own a business? Do you need a commercial truck?
Think Silvera. We are professional grade with a commercial truck center.
Whatever your automotive needs, think Silvera. Silvera.
Think Silvera GMC in Healdsburg. Silvera Chevrolet in the town of Sonoma. And online at SilveraAutos.com.
Join Allison Norman and Stephanie Norman, the newest mother-daughter real estate team in the North Bay, every Sunday morning at 9 on the Real Estate Hour, right here on KSRO. Sonoma County real estate market updates and knowledge from real estate professionals born and raised in the North Bay. For podcasts, go to KSRO.com. The Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman, Sunday mornings at 9 on KSRO. DRE license number 017-20334 and 022-09237.
Right now at MySonomaDeals.com, get a $50 gift certificate for only $25 to the community farmers markets.
During the fall in Santa Rosa and Petaluma, use the gift certificate to buy fresh produce direct from the farmers, restaurant quality prepared food, and crafts and goods from the many artisans.
Go to MySonomaDeals.com to see the deals.
Sign up for notifications so you don't miss it.
MySonomaDeals.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen. Good morning, everyone. I'm Steve Garner, celebrating our 38th year in the KSRO kitchen, founded by Chef John Ashenby in 1987. And Emily Ash Lamb has the day off today. Our special co-host, Ryan Wren, butcher, chef extraordinaire, owner of the Sonoma Meat Company, does a lot of fabricating for hunters and 4-H and FFA and teaches meat classes, is sitting in with me because on meat is something that's, although it's not over my head, I mean, I'm a pretty good cook, but I wanted kind of the insight of a specialist when we talk with Jeremy Fox, a terrific chef that's just released this book called On Meat. So with that, let's say good morning. Hi, Jeremy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. This is Steve, and why don't you say good morning to Ryan?
How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good.
On Meat, Modern Recipes for the Home Kitchen. I was telling Ryan before we got on the air that back in 2008, my son and my wife, they went to Ubuntu in Napa and had a great vegetarian meal. I wasn't able to attend it. I never got over to your restaurant in Napa. Did you work other places in Napa?
That was the only place I worked in Napa.
And how long did Ubuntu survive?
Ubuntu survived about not quite 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for about almost maybe 2.5, right. 3.
And that closed around, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago that you wrote the book on vegetables?
That came out in 2017. So 8 years.
About 8 years. Mm-hmm. And people ask about why it makes sense you wrote on vegetables, because you owned a vegetarian restaurant, but you really were not a vegetarian, were you?
I was not, no, never have been.
So what was the calling? Was it just to move forward your education and knowledge about vegetables that you decided to go with this concept at Ubuntu?
It actually started when I spent almost 5 years at Manresa in Los Gatos, and we started a farm with a woman named Cynthia Sandberg, and that kind of changed the ethos of the restaurant, where we were getting, you know, amazing produce, things we'd never heard of from the farm, and I just started getting a lot of enjoyment out of cooking vegetables at that time.
But you didn't consider yourself really an expert in vegetarian style cooking at that point?
No, I'd never cooked. I'd never really even been to a vegetarian restaurant. So maybe I think that might have been the reason that people liked it. I don't know.
Because.
I think that it was a different viewpoint of vegetables. It was more of it was vegetable cookery through the lens of a meat eater and someone who enjoyed cooking with pigs.
Wow. Hmm. So I think you mentioned in the book that really this new book on meat was probably the book you chronologically should have published first before on vegetables. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, in a way. Like I said, I think the reason that my vegetable cooking struck a chord was that it was through the lens of a carnivore. So I...
Yeah, it's interesting to change the focus when you're constantly imagining meat as the centerpiece and vegetables as a dressing, to then flip the lens in a more avant-garde fashion and put the vegetables in the center and kind of leave meat sort of just like eating at the back of your mind to try and get in back in the front foremost.
For sure. And I enjoyed cooking with vegetables. I still do. Even though I've never been a vegetarian, I do love that aspect of cooking.
It's important.
When I went through the book, I read it cover to cover over the last 3 or 4 days. And it's funny, I found myself really drawn to page 334, right at the end of the book, and it was a great recipe for the chicken stock that was developed by Rachel. Is Rachel your wife or partner?
Yes, she's my wife and co-author.
And what is it about Rachel's chicken broth that mandated it to be included in the book?
It's funny. My she used to get the she would go into McCall's Butcher Shop, which is in our neighborhood here in LA, and they were just curious of why she just bought so many bones, and and her yield was so small because she would get like 6, 7, 8 pounds of stock of bones and maybe 2 quarts of stock, because it was like so intense. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's not an exact copy of that stock, but it has lots of chicken backs in it, feet, to give it nice mouthfeel and the gelatin and the collagen.
It's funny you mention that, because usually when I pick up a book about meat that has stocks in it, it's the first recipe that I go to see where they've kind of landed and how they view the world through the chicken stock. It's kind of like a litmus test. You know, you see it and you're like, oh, I don't know what these guys are talking about. This is baloney. I'm not going to read the rest of this book. But I was really impressed with it. It was very well done. one piece that I really enjoyed was how you reuse the bones for another dish, or the feet specifically. I think that, I don't know, there are kind of two groups of people in the world. There are the people that like to eat the knuckles off the chicken bones, and the people that are like, that's gross, I can't take it. I tend to fall in the eating the knuckle and cartilage because it's crunchy and delicious. that's my particular feeling. And the fact that you reuse those bones is really, really, or the feet specifically, kudos to you and well done for bringing that up. I do find myself sort of eating them as I make my own stock and feed them to my family, because they are quite healthy and there's a lot to be, you know, kind of reabsorbed nutriently in that that piece. So excellent. I did have one question about that recipe specifically. Maybe you could answer, why is it that you didn't wrap the bones in cheesecloth so that straining would be easier afterward?
I think it's based on the fact that that my grandmother and I used to take my great grandfather the bones from the chicken stock, and he would gnaw on them. So it didn't matter if it was feet or wings or whatever part of the chicken that he would gnaw on all of it. So
good, so delicious.
So you were inspired from a young age, I guess, of loving great chicken stock, because you have a terrific recipe for matzo ball soup in the book.
Yeah, it's different than my grandmother's. My grandmother's was more neutral in terms of the stock. Usually matzo ball soup, the stock is very neutral and maybe a little bit bland. Ours is fortified with the gribbiness, which is the chicken fat and onions that get stewed down for schmaltz. So it tastes like stock that's been cooking for a long time, by giving that extra roasty flavor to it.
I was amazed that you're very self-deprecating in this book for all the awards you've won, the Michelin stars, the top restaurants you've worked at, the success of On Vegetables. You write, I'm not a great butcher. I'm good at what I'm good at. It's kind of like a Zen koan, some way of looking at the world. Is that really how you feel about your skills?
It is. You know, like I said, I'm good at what I'm good at, and I'm not good at what I'm not good at, and I don't necessarily get to pick and choose those things. At least I don't feel like I get to pick and choose those things. Some of it's based on shortcomings of my skill. Some of it's based on just the fact that I might not care that as much about certain things.
Well, they say it is the wisest man who is the first to admit he knows nothing. And and as soon as you start saying you know everything, you stop learning anything.
Yeah, well,
for sure. I agree with that 100%.
Let's jump into the book. How to use the book. Can you give us a roadmap of Ryan said something really interesting before we began the show. He said, you can really use this book two different ways. There's a lot in there for the home cook, but he said there's also a lot for the professional.
Yeah, definitely. I really enjoyed it. I thought that it was quite well laid out. I like, you know, some people would look at it and be like, oh, there's a lot of blank space in the book. There's not, places where there's not writing or pictures. And for me, when you take a book on and you're like, oh, all right, I'm going to really sink my teeth into this, I'm going to write all over that thing. You know what I mean? I'm going to put my own notes in. I'm going to make the recipe, and then I'm going to write, hey, don't forget this, don't forget that. So it was very thoughtful. Another piece that I really enjoyed is that it was quite like a choose your own adventure. You know, so it's like, see this recipe. You go to the back, you look at that recipe, and then go to the other one. So you find yourself, you know, in an interactive way. I don't know if you plan this, skipping over the middle of the book back and forth to a point where you're like, what's in here? You know what I mean? What's going on in this middle piece that I keep going back and forth over? So, I mean, if that was intentional, well done. Very well done. I enjoyed that piece of it. you know, that was one thing, the choose your own adventure aspect, you know, growing up in the early 80s has some, you know, speaks to my heart, I guess, in that regard. Go ahead.
It sounds like we're about the same age, but yeah, I think it is a choose your adventure in some ways. You know, the subtitle of the book is Modern Recipes for the Home Kitchen, and you know, it was the same as On Vegetables. There are recipes that are, you know, a little bit more entry level that are a little bit easier, maybe not as daunting. And there's recipes such as the Choucroute Royale that has 14 sub recipes. that is by design, but I say very clearly at the beginning of the book that you don't have to make all the things from scratch that I make from scratch. I make butter from scratch, ketchup, salt, even. That's not necessary. That's just the way that I cook and the way that I like to build like an emotional attachment to the ingredients by making everything from scratch. But you can feel free to go ahead and buy those things on your own.
You encapsulated that with a beautiful sentence, and it said, "Just because I'm a maniac doesn't mean you have to be."
Yeah, sometimes I forget the specifics of what I wrote because it was like a year and a half ago, but that definitely makes sense. But a lot of chefs are that way. You know, they find certain things to be maniacal about, and that's what kind of maybe separates their cooking from others. But, yeah.
You don't have to do it all.
Yeah, I mean, no. The idea is to make food that you eat, right? Mm-hmm. And to enjoy that process, which you have with whomever you're sharing it with, or even if you're doing it for yourself. And so if you have the connection in some way, shape, or form, be it making everything or putting it together easily so that you can share with friends, I think that's the idea of the game.
So the how to use the book, you rarely put any, you cook things on high heat very rarely, which surprised me. I thought every chef was just blasting things at 20,000 BTUs. I was wrong about that. Bad idea.
No, I like to keep the low heat.
Okay.
Yeah. It helps with multitasking, and it keeps the meat, you know, gives it a more consistent texture all the way through.
And I really like this thought. I like to cook the meat from each animal with its corresponding fat. I thought that was really sensitive to that.
That's a great idea.
It's a great idea.
Definitely.
And another one of your Zen koans there in that section. Make something taste more like what it is and not what it is not.
Yeah.
It's great. Why don't we take a break? And we'll come back in about 2 minutes, Jeremy, and we'll jump into the book, the first section, the how-to, a lot of the basics ones. And then we'll go some of the highlights from section to section. And talk about some of those recipes that Ryan likes and I like and also that you like. Jeremy Fox is our guest in the studio this morning. Ryan is our guest in the studio. Jeremy's on the phone, and his new book is called On Meat. It's his second big book. First one was On Vegetables, which won a whole lot of awards about 7-8 years ago. This On Meat, Modern Recipes for the Home Kitchen, is new, hardbound book, and beautifully illustrated. Ryan, we both said, photographs are just gorgeous. How did you find this photographer, Jeremy?
I kind of found him by accident. He was he had been hired to shoot an event I did years ago, and we kept in touch over the years. He did our pre-opening photos for Birdie G's, and was really excited to get to work with him on the book, and it was really great, painless process, and I was just really pleased with the result.
Yeah, it's stunning, and it'll certainly win awards.
Well,
you do own and operate two restaurants in the Santa Monica area, correct?
Yes.
What are they?
Birdie G's in Bergamot Station, and Rustic Canyon on 11th and Wilshire.
Nice.
Although we are closing Birdie G's at the end of the year, so you've got about 2.5 months left to give it a try.
Well, that's perfect timing. My wife and I are heading down to L.A. and Palm Springs for Thanksgiving. Maybe we could go through Santa Monica and try Birdie G before it closes.
Definitely.
There you go.
That'd be great. We'll take a break. Chef Jeremy Fox joining me, Steve Garner. And special co-host today is Ryan Wren from the Sonoma Meat Company, and we're talking about Jeremy's new book, On Meat. We'll be back in exactly 2 minutes and 30 seconds, so don't go away.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Got a drain that's clogged up? Or maybe a toilet? Or a faucet that just won't quit leaking? This is Austin, founder of More Home Services, and I want you to know that it does make a difference which plumber you call. At More Home Services, we respect your time by showing up when we say we'll be there. Our technicians are all background checked and drug tested and will greet you with a smile. They're trained to do the job right the first time, and they carry over 1,000 parts on their trucks, so they won't have to order something and then come back later. They leave the work area cleaner than they found it, and your final bill will be the same as what they quoted. No surprises. So, if you need a plumber, it does make a difference who you call. Call More Home Services. Our number is 707-505-8000 or find us online at morehomeservices.com.
We do more to treat you right. More Home Services.
Listen the first Tuesday of each month at 12:30 for Raise the Roof with Letitia Henke, right here on KSRO. Raise the Roof celebrates people in our community who are actively contributing to or possess expertise in the field of construction. Hear great info for contractors, community members, and our youth with insights for daily life. Brought to you by ARS Roofing and Gutters. Raise the Roof with Letitia Henke, the first Tuesday of the month, and podcasts at ksro.com.
Stop the presses! Here's a headline you won't read anywhere else. The shocking recent sale of the Santa Rosa Press-Democrat finds the North Bay's formerly independent local daily now under the eye of New York hedge fund Alden Global Capital. This is Jason Walsh of North Bay Biz Magazine, and this month we tell the story of the selling of a Pulitzer-winning community paper, how it affects local news, and what the future may hold under distant ownership. Read all about it at northbaybiz.com.
Right now at MySonomaDeals.com, get a $50 gift certificate for only $25 to the community farmers markets.
During the fall in Santa Rosa and Petaluma, use the gift certificate to buy fresh produce direct from the farmers, restaurant quality prepared food, and crafts and goods from the many artisans.
Go to MySonomaDeals.com to see the deals.
Sign up for notifications so you don't miss it.
MySonomaDeals.com.
Mountain Mike's, the official pizza of the San Francisco 49ers, is the perfect place to enjoy the games. Happy hour specials Monday through Thursday and all Sunday long. Watch the Sunday ticket at two locations, Cleveland Avenue in Santa Rosa and Mountain Mike's in Nevada. Order up their legendary crispy curly pepperoni pizza. Try their new sticky kogi wings or kickin' Korean barbecue wings. Online at mountainmikes.com.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following the overnight clouds, we can look to partly cloudy skies to give us daytime highs in the high 60s and low 70s. In the evening, we can anticipate clear skies to leave us with overnight lows in the mid 40s. There is around a 90% chance of around a quarter inch of rain expected to fall on Monday afternoon. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
Ryan Wren, the butcher, owner of the Sonoma Meat Company, also a lot of years teaching and working in all kinds of restaurants around the world. He's my co-host this morning as we chat with Jeremy Fox, chef and owner of a couple of restaurants in the Santa Monica area, and his new book, On Meat, his first book on vegetables, won all kinds of awards. And we're going to dive in to the book right now, Jeremy, and Ryan and I will highlight some of the things that really struck us as interesting and worth trying. The deli case. Why don't we start with the deli case, Ryan? Because you make a lot of sausages and cured meats.
We make a lot of sausages.
What'd you like in that chapter?
I mean, I really enjoyed the way you kind of laid it out in a very, very approachable manner with this is what you need. These are the tools that you can use. Don't get lost in the tech. Get lost in your creativity and your kind of focus on enjoyment of the process. And that sort of mentality throughout that particular chapter, I really enjoyed.
And you liked the lardo and the guanciale, didn't you, Ryan?
Yeah, I did. The lardo was really approachable. I've made it a bunch of times. It's not as popular as I would like it to be. I think that everybody can agree with that. You know, we have a saying at the butcher shop, you know, we make 40 pounds and sell one for the customer that asked for it. And then we don't know what to do with the rest of it because nobody else wants it. but it's not something that we don't enjoy making and having the case for ever. And one thing I would add is that, you know, just because we don't necessarily have it in the case in our shop, one thing is kind of let me step back for a second, and the overarching view of a lot of the things in this book is you got to have a butcher shop that you're close to that you can get a lot of these products from. Uh-huh. You know, you cannot go to, you know, your average supermarket and be like, I'll take 3 pounds of beef tendon, please. You know, and they'll just look at you like, what are you talking about? But if you have that resource, take advantage of it. And, you know, we're that resource for Sonoma County. I'm sure other places in other parts of the state have fantastic butcher shops that can do whole animal fabrication and have a plethora of these pieces. But I kind of want to hear your take on lardo and talk about it, your recipe and hear how you came to it. What was your sort of inspiration to put that in the book?
I think the lardo came about, you know, from whenever you get like nice thick pieces of fat, because usually you have to have a source, like you said, you have to have a professional source for that kind of quality of fat, something that's going to be that thick. So you know, I think that's just kind of the perks of having. Of working with a butcher shop like that, like such as yourselves, or you know, there's not enough of them. I will say that. But I find anytime you can have that, like I said, that emotional connection to an ingredient, whereas you can get this piece of fat at the butcher shop and they know what. They can tell you what ranch that came from. That's a whole different story than just finding an anonymous piece of meat.
Anonymous meat. That'll be the next. That'll be the name of my book. You know, the guanciale, the recipe was fairly, you know, had a little bit of extra with the Szechuan. I enjoyed that. But one thing that really struck me is, it reminded me of an experience that I had working in a restaurant a long time ago, where you whip it afterwards, and you make in the recipe it's whipped guanciale and or not guanciale, excuse me, lardo.
The lardo
is whipped, and it's just, you know, when you have that cured meat and you're like, oh, it's a thing, I can slice it, put on a fig, grill it, do whatever that kind of, you know, sort of basic technique is, not to say that it isn't amazing, but then you take that product and you know warm it slightly and whip it, and it becomes something that's like, you know, it's like taking a raisin and making it into a cake. You know what I mean? It's just, how did that happen? It's so delicious, and I'm so happy to see that.
Like pork meringue.
Yeah, exactly, like pork meringue. Very well.
Marshmallow.
Yeah, which is some of my favorite kind of s'more. You know what I mean?
And 30 seconds, Ryan and Jeremy, about Nuja.
Oh, Nuja. Tell me about your Nuja recipe. I really liked it. The tomato aspect is great. There's a lot of, it's sort of one of those recipes that I see as being kind of almost international. Every country has their own version of it.
And would you describe what it is, Jeremy? A lot of people, I don't think, are familiar with it. It's relatively new here, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's like a spreadable Calabrian salumi spread. Kind of like a spicy pork butter, if you will. You know, it's really good on things like grilled bread, or you know, you can finish sauces with it. Like a lot of times, I see you know, clams or mussel broth finished with andouille, which gives it like a richness and spiciness.
But
it's the thing that I think once you try it, you see that it's not all that, it's not that far-fetched, and it's something that pretty much everyone would probably enjoy if they were exposed to it.
100%, like 120%. It's the fantastic cut that, or product that is highly, it's sort of like, I think it's like the Padron pepper, you know, you just give it a couple more years and everybody will be loving it.
Move on into the pork section. A lot of stars here, and Ryan and I just learned that we put double stars by one of those recipes, Jeremy. It's the apples roasted in bacon fat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just did a dinner in San Francisco at a restaurant called Octavia, with Chef Melissa Perello, and she did that dish a la mode with bacon ice cream, vanilla bacon ice cream, and that was really, really delicious.
It's what I'm having for dinner this evening, so I can't wait to try your recipe. It looks delicious, and really... The way that you handled the apples in terms of using a melon bottler, I think, is a great way to hold that fat within the apple itself. So I'm really excited about that. Excellent.
Interesting, in the pork section was the chopped antipasto salad, which really caught my interest, something that any reader of the book could make very easily. And then the upbringing with grandma and grandpa, that recipe, the Hangtown Bry, not matzo bry, but Hangtown Bry. How'd you come up with this riff?
So I had, when I opened up Birdie G's, I had wanted there to be a Hangtown Fry to kind of represent my time in San Francisco. And then I also wanted a matzo bry to represent my grandmother's cooking. And just based on fun wordplay, they came together as one singular dish, and it became an extremely blasphemous dish called Hangtown Bry, which is it is a matzo bry. It's basically like scrambled eggs with matzo, and then it's served with grilled bacon, fried oysters, and hollandaise. So it's all the things you're not supposed to do as a Jew, but I've given myself permission to do it.
Well, I got to tell you, this will burn in my memory that you used the word blasphemy just now. Describing that Hangtown Bry, that's pretty brilliant. We'll take a 2-minute break. We'll be right back, and we'll grab a couple recipes from the poultry and rabbit section, and then the beef and lamb, and then our time is going to be up. Chef Jeremy Fox is joining me, Steve Garner, along with special co-host today, butcher extraordinaire Ryan Wren from the Sonoma Meat Company. This is KSRO. It's the Good Food Hour, back after this.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
It takes courage to farm and ranch through agriculture's ups and downs. With American Ag Credit, you're not alone. We've been there for more than 100 years, and we'll continue to be there for what's ahead. We're built for you and for farmers like Travis Coder of Coder Farms.
Agriculture has a lot of really radical swings, and when somebody will sit there and stare you in the eye and doesn't blink when you're in the tank and doesn't blink when you're on top of a mountain for 20 years, what else can you ask for?
American Ag Credit. Your future grows here. Visit agloan.com for more.
After working in the construction industry for over 30 years with first-class designers, architects, and builders, founder Graham Robertson created his own company and launched Outlander Construction in 2017. From intricate restorations to high-end remodels, Outlander Construction will bring your ideas to life. In Pengrove, contact Graham Robertson at OutlanderBayArea.com or call 415-328-7891. 415-328-7891. OutlanderBayArea.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner, along with Ryan Wren from the Sonoma Meat Company, and special guest Jeremy Fox, whose new book is called On Meat. It just came out. During the break, Jeremy, Ryan said, oh, I really want to talk about Kishka with Jeremy. And so, Ryan, why did that call out to you?
Well, I love Kishka. And I think we have about a pallet of it at the shop because I love to make it. No one likes to buy it, but I will not stop making it because it's so good. And I really like this recipe. Well, I have my experience with it is when we were in Poland. My wife and I stayed with a guy that his business was making Kishka. That was it. He sold it at a little farmer's market stand, and his business was Dobra Kishka. And he was a young guy, so he was like listening to techno, making making blood sausage and boiling it and smoking cigarettes and just kind of wild Polish times. It was really nice. But one thing I really liked about this particular was how you fry the kasha and you develop the sugars in that particular addition. And I think that that's brilliant. I think that's a great addition. I think it probably adds a lot to where a lot of people might be like, oh, it's a little bit chalky and kind of funny texture. I think it would take care of a lot of that. So I was very impressed when I saw that addition. If you could kind of talk a little bit about why you did that, what your relationship is to that particular meat product, I would love to hear that.
Yeah, so this is a very loose take on a kishka, as you can probably tell. The only kishka I ever had was one that one of my cooks made one time, and it kind of reminded me of like a stuffing sausage, like stovetop stuffing in a casing. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went in a different direction, and I've been working on different blood sausages for a long time. The kasha I would fry I love that you kind of talk about like creating the sugars. I really did that to kind of keep them from clumping, so it would after it's fried, all the each grain would be individual and would mix into the sausage well, and then rehydrate as it cooks.
Right.
It was funny. I had two kind of funny stories with the kishka. One is there was every day around 1 o'clock, all the cooks put up a spoon of each of the things on their station, and I put at the same time I put up a piece of a tester of the kishka, and some guy wandered into the restaurant to use the bathroom and then came out and was just kind of, I guess, transfixed by like the fact that there were like 100 spoons and then a little plate of blood sausage. And he asked if he could try it. And he took a bite of it and he was like, is that buckwheat? And I couldn't believe that this guy could pick up on the buckwheat in the blood sausage. Like I was like, are you a Michelin inspector? Like I had no idea how he could pick up on that. I wouldn't have been able to, but also like, I can't really give the blood sausage away in the restaurant. It's a hard sell, but
yeah. No, no,
on my book tour, I did a bunch of dinners on the East Coast and then in San Francisco and here in L.A. And everyone's favorite dish is the blood sausage. And even they would never order it, but 90% of the tables I asked, you know, if they had a favorite, it was the blood sausage.
Yeah,
that's wild.
So it is.
Don't skip the kishka recipe is what we're talking about.
Call it something else.
Yeah, it's a really good recipe. I guarantee.
Definitely amazing.
We have about 2 or 3 minutes left. Anything in the poultry and rabbit section that you wanted to mention? To me, my dad, my grandparents, everybody's from Syracuse, New York. So the
riggies
that you included, their chicken riggies. I called my cousin in Syracuse. He's listening online to the show today, and that was remarkable. What is it, for those that don't know?
It's basically an Italian American dish of chicken and pasta, with basically like a sauce made with hot sauce, like with Frank's Red Hot, like, if you will. We used to do blue plates at Birdie G. So like weekly, we would have the same special on like a Wednesday or a Thursday. And one of my sous chefs was from Syracuse, and he made this chicken riggies for us one time. And I was like, boom, this is great. So it was like a tomato sauce with lots of hot sauce in it. And I think in the book, I say that you can try putting a little bit of blue cheese on it to make like a buffalo wing pasta kind of deal.
Mm. Sounds really good. In the beef and lamb section, I just want to call out one. I love merguez sausage, eating it in Greece and Turkey and Morocco. And you have a recipe for merguez sausage with loaded eggplant. And I never thought, but you serve it charred in the eggplant skins. But that was really cool.
Very good.
Yeah, I figure the skin is still nice when even when it's charred, and makes a good vessel and a good force field for everything else.
Really great.
Fantastic.
Anything in the beef and lamb, Ryan, before we...
I mean, anything with beef tendons.
Beef tendons.
I have a soft spot for things that are like slightly crunchy and gelatiny. So, we have beef tendon in our house all the time. There's usually a couple of odd cryoback bags that have weird goop in it that contain tendons in them at any given moment. So cold or hot, but I prefer it cold. But it was a really nice recipe, really beautiful.
Beautifully enjoyed done. Yeah. So, but again, there's a lot of really accessible, easier recipes to do. And how you've formatted the book is it goes from easier to more complex in each chapter. So it's really easy to find something within your skill set. We can't let you go before you tell the story of the pig head pozole. Would you tell that story, Jeremy?
Oh, sure. I feel like the story is more of the story that inspired it, which was from, are you referring to the someone stealing the pig head?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there was one of my favorite cookbooks, the Zuni cookbook from Judy Rogers. She has a pig head recipe in the book. And I think in the book, someone sneaks into the kitchen and steals the pig head out of a pot and runs away with it. And so every time I'm cooking a pig head, I'm afraid someone's going to come in and steal it.
But actually, someone came in the back door of Zuni and fished this out and wrapped it up in something cloth and was seen running down the back alley with this pig head.
Really? Wow.
Oh, only in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Only in San Francisco. We have tons of pig heads. We get 20 a week.
Nobody, you do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have heaps of them. Nobody really uses them. We wind up cleaning them and using them for meat and dog treats, unfortunately.
Oh, do you
yeah.
do?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, or pig ears. People like pig ears.
Okay.
We can get those.
Ryan,
yeah.
Any other closing remarks about the book? We're about 30 seconds.
Overall, I really enjoyed it. I think that it's very approachable. I was kind of thinking like, oh, where do I put it in my house? Well, it kind of fits on the shelf, but it also fits on the coffee table. You know, it's sort of something you can leave out and talk about, which is really nice. I feel like a lot of cookbooks either fall one, two categories, and either this sort of bridges the gap between both of them. So I'm going to go about it the other way and read the meat book first and then read the vegetable book. So we'll see how it goes and go from there.
Jeremy, thanks so much for joining Ryan and me on the show. This has really been a fun time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure. Appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye. Jeremy Fox, look for the book in the bookstores. It's called On Meat. Honestly, just even flip through it, you will be excited. It's like no other meat book I don't think I've seen. Yeah. Thanks for sitting in, Ryan.
Yes, thank you.
Back next Saturday. Thanks for listening.
Starting your own business can be challenging, but Exchange Bank is here to help. Hi, I'm Cameron Belvedere, branch manager at Exchange Bank, where we invest in Sonoma County. That means helping local businesses to get started and keep growing. A small business loan from Exchange Bank can make all the difference when you're getting a new business off the ground. And
news, traffic, weather, talk.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO Santa Rosa.
From ABC News.